The topic of smartness is such an interesting topic. It's something that I'm sure all of us have thought a lot about the topic, this conversation of smartness, what smartness means, what smartness is. It's such a fascinating topic because you see somebody who's a genius, who's an absolute genius. Like the guy is like a Harvard brain and is so stupid, to be honest, like the way he treats his, but not, I'm not talking about behavior, he gets cast. His own understanding of his own life, of his children's life, of his family, of his wife's life. So we made up like a new thing. We call it EQ and some now emotional intelligence. I feel like the teretz is a poor teretz. That's a chesaron in EQ. It's a chesaron in IQ if you don't understand how he feels, how you feel. It doesn't help me that you called it EQ. We love to call it emotion. See, he's good IQ, he's a bad EQ, emotional intelligence. Isn't the brain just figuring things out? So we like labeled it emotional. I thought he was a genius. What does that mean? We call it EQ as if it's a teretz. I reject the teretz of EQ. Because the same brain, the same cheshbonus is a different computation. It's not 1 + 1 = 2 is not a different computation than how he's feeling. By the way, the guy's out of touch with his own feelings. Why isn't that in the world of brain? We give EQ as a teretz, and Lanius Daiti, if somebody explains it to me, I think the EQ is a terrible answer to the question. I want to say a different shot. I think it's there's a cashier, we're stuck. He's a genius. He tested on all our things, geniusy, and then he gets angry all the time in his face. He's so stupid. He's out of touch with his own insecurities. He's so EQ, emotional intelligence is low. But why in the world of IQ can he see that too? That's also there. In the world of IQ, that should exist also. It's a bad teretz calling it EQ. It's just somehow we labeled it something else because we couldn't figure out that his brain's not working. It's a kasha I've had, many people have had. The question of intelligence is a bomb kasha. This is a power, a brain, a mayach that every person has. I have not met a person that when I get to know them well, I'm not blown away by the mayach, by the brain. The brain is like, I'm not sure the limits, but we're confused. He's not so smart, medium smart, brilliant. Now, there's something called IQ. There's a force. There's such a thing. There's a bigger brain in ways, for sure. But we have a kasha that we answer with EQ. I have some suspicion, and the way I see it, and if somebody argues that I don't have, this is something, not a theoretical thing. It's something that I've been wondering for years. I sat last night for 2.5 hours, was like a game changer for me. I'm not deciding what yeshiva. I plan on coming back here. I hope for Mashiach, but I'm not convinced Mashiach's coming next year. And I plan on coming back to Durham, and yet it was a 2.5 hour, it changed my life. I feel like, you say change your life, it's dangerous. So am I acting different today? I made mistakes already today. I have something that I'm processing, things I heard last night that were game changers. What was so powerful, I felt 2.5 hours there was hardly a dishonest word spoken. Felt like every speaker was brilliant. When people are honest, I think the answer is not IQ and EQ, it's dishonesty. He's a genius, but he's a liar. He's not. If he's ignoring his insecurity, there's dishonesty. So a dishonesty with genius is not a very good way of tapping into brain. I think the answer is honesty. And I think you could be a genius and dishonest, but then you miss out all different factors. I think the answer is dishonesty. And I've seen it when there's honesty, people are so smart. They figure out, they resolve, they're working all their capacities in one way and they're tapping it. I heard guys speak last night. I was so moved by it. It was honesty. Guys describing their own difficulties, connecting to their yeshivas, to their journeys, to their learning. The conversation was so honest. it was very impactful to my own relationship to Torah, to Tefillah, to Avodas Hashem. It was just very impactful. It wasn't about, there were people sitting there are not looking to choose yeshivas who were like absorbing. We're all looking to make a relationship to Yiddishkeit. The connecting and doing well in my yeshiva, we're not pretend people. We had a big meeting about what yeshiva. Let's be honest, most guys in that room are going to Imre's. We're just fakers. Let's discuss what yeshiva. It wasn't like a white elephant in the room, like we're being pretend. It wasn't about what yeshiva I'm going to. The sophisticated guy sat there for hours, 2.5 hours. The guy sat there a long time because it wasn't about what yeshiva. It was about me and connecting to Ruchnius and how I related. Now, we did learn about yeshivas in the process, and that's important. But we also learned about people utilizing places and figuring out. And I want to go over. I want to say that what I'm amazed by the Chassan, by Akiva, what I'm nishtoimim from, schools get very confused. They praise people. He's so smart. We never even like when people call us smart. I'm smart, I'm not smart. It's funny, he came to the yeshiva, he was known as being very smart. And wherever he went, the label followed, you're brilliant. Got a great score in his SATs. And schools can factor smart, and they're good at measuring smart. But what about our other capacities? How does it work? Smart is, I think when there's honesty with smarts, you take your whole essence and your smarts become, when there's dishonesty and smart, I don't see good results. And I see with the chassan, the emotions, the in touch with emotions, and honesty. I know somebody who calls das emotional reality. I think a lot of das is intellect with honesty. I tend to wonder, a great person I know translates das. Chachma is what they're measuring, wisdom, but much higher than chachma is das. So they call it chachma, emotional reality. You live with your chachma. I want to say honesty with intelligence equals das. And I think that when there's no honesty, then you could be a genius and smart and they can measure it and the guy is so not smart. It didn't matter all his smartness. He doesn't see that he's angry. He doesn't see that he's insecure. He doesn't. So it's unusable chachma. It's unaccessible. Just saying he has a brain. We all have brains. The ability to access our brains, to use our brains, to live with our brains is this. That takes honesty. That takes an honesty. And when there's honesty, and I want to say about the Chassan, that he's so present and honest. Guys heard him speak. Rabbi Akiva spoke last night.
Oh, yeah.
Akiva spoke beautifully last night. The honesty, the sense, the mashal was incredible that he gave because there was an honesty to his experience. That was the... He was one of the starters of the night, and guys have tremendous minds. And he's specifically, not all minds are the same. It does look like he's more of a chacham than the average, and that's cool. But what makes it so powerful is honesty. Honesty mixed with intelligence makes it so functional and practical, and everything's in sync then. So you can call it emotional reality. It's all our faculties are in sync. If we're, a guy's a genius, it's like a guy say, I have a great computer, I just never use it. If you're dishonest and you're brilliant, so it's, but it has nothing to do with your life, it won't translate, it doesn't, I also have a computer in my house. There's AI. AI is brilliant, but it has no honesty to it. It has no emotions to it, it has no human being, it has no frailties. I could do AI. I'm so happy for AI. I'm so happy. They destroyed. School ended. School's over. There's AI now. School just ended. School, we should make a big levaya. Schools are over. There's AI. It's over. It's over. The game's over. My friends. Na da da da. Na da da da. Na na na. Good. It's over. It's over. I don't know. It's over. There's a right after this is one levaya. It speaks about the shechita of the Yetzirah. This is it, my friends. A misfade kaved. It says it's a great eulogy on the schools have ended. There's AI now. What? any essay you want. You could just do. It's funny. We still go to math classes. We have like math classes, and the guy says no calculators allowed. The second you're done school, I'm just going to open my calculator, write an essay. AI. So have to figure out ways of catching AI. The answer is, who are you? That computer can. What's your own story? Your own version. Shlomo Guri described yesterday something amazing. He said, Shlomo described that I come to yeshiva, I open up my Gemara, day one, he said, and I see Mar Mekoymus in Hebrew. And now I'm like, wow, 3 hours study this. I'm like looking at these. And then he described craving to become, they said, by Hanukkah you'll be good at this. So he said he remembers the first day of Hanukkah opening his Gemara with trepidation. He had worked hard. Now it's Hanukkah. Is it all just going to go? He opened it up and it didn't happen. It's painful. By Hanukkah it will happen. I didn't get there. And then he explained the conversation with his Rebbe that you'll always feel you're trying to get good at learning. You'll spend the rest of your life. It's Hashem's wisdom. It's infinite. So you're always trying to get there. Could you tell me the day I'm there? You get into Mir, brisk, Prager's. Wow, I made it. He made Prager's Keuleldach. That nobody gets into. The yeshiva, the 700. The Keul Mamish. You married a good Shver. The girl's also okay. Wow, you did it. You Mamish, you done it. You've done it. Your mamish done it. So what's the day? What's the day? But are you the top guy, not the Rosh Hashiva of Prager's? Oh, there is none. Whatever, however it works. I don't know. However it works. However it works. So what's the day? So what, I love the yeshiva. It's a place, a makom Torah. What's the day? What's the day? When did you make it? And his Rebbe explained to him that taking your package with your questions, with your ability, and he started saying, I started loving the process of me connecting to Torah and Torah connecting to me. Where I am with my questions, with my abilities, and he started loving the process, not trying to get there, just loving the process of me and my Gemara, with my funny questions, with my capacities, and slowly engaging a relationship to Torah. He said, I love my questions, I love my confusions. And then I engage that process, and that process is beautiful. Shlaim explained it to us. Honesty together with wisdom, that's das. And I want to say on the chassan, what tremendous, tremendous person, who's taka, tremendous chacham, and there's such a thing, and that's wonderful. Together with the emotions that are understood, that are beautiful, that are energetic, the impact that Akiva's had coming back to yeshiva. Remember when he called me that we have the chance of getting Akiva while he's a chassan? I owe the kalas here, we owe the kalas because of her that we got Akiva to yeshiva. He became a chassan, he figured at that time, let him go where he's comfortable, where he knows, and the impact. We thank you, Kal, Mazel Tov, Kala, and thank you for bringing Akiva there. I want to welcome home. It's tremendous. I want to welcome back. It's appreciated. And he comes back to the yeshiva. It has to be this tremendous gratitude. Aryeh is back. Rav Aryeh is back in yeshiva. And I want to say that for years, the greatest chesed, people think chesed has to be outside the Beis Medrash. for years he took his own love of Torah for long, long periods here and learnt with other people, gave his own chiyus and cheshek. There were lines throughout the day, guys. The next guy learned with Arya Lashinsky, and the next, and the next, and the next. And the amount of guys that he shared his own cheshek and chiyus and Torah with so many guys in yeshiva, what he brought to the Beis Medrash, he certainly made night activities and all different ball games much more geschmack. But the greatest, the Torah's chesed al Lashayna, the Torah's chesed, that he shared his own love of Torah with so many bachrim, that he was very, very willing to share from his own cheshek for Torah, his own drive for Torah, and learn with all different guys, grew a lot in yeshiva, brought a ruach of growth. I want to welcome Rav Aryeh back home. I met with the Waterbury dorm and shared something that I want to share with the chevra here. I spoke about this in the city this week, and I want to share with everybody here because I think there's a tremendous amount to learn from this conversation, and it's on my mind now. It's the parsha we just list, past week's parsha of B'Shalach. So I wanted to share with the chevra. I got a call from a wonderful Ben Torah in Miami, a guy who's married with children, a beautiful Ben Torah, and he asked me that, how do you know your version? How do you know your version of Hashem is true? All of us in our search and our connection to Hashem, you have a version of Hashem who loves me, who cares about me, who roots for me. How do you know you're right? That's not a light question. That question that causes me nights. I think about that question. That's not a light. You don't. Smugly you say. Well, the man is thinking. The man is experiencing God. That's not a question. You just like smugly say. Not like that. It's not like that. You don't smugly say anything. First of all, I'm intimidated by somebody who's searching for Hashem, who's a mivakish. And when he's asking, how do you know your version? It's like, I'm the guy, I'm there. I hope to search like he's searching, the questioner. And this beautiful yid who's searching, who's a mivakish Hashem, said, you seem to have found him, and you see him, how do you know you're right? And so that's not a question. If you give an answer to that question, you're answering like you're the one who's found and he's searching. I'm working with him also searching. But the question, very, very powerful, a beautiful yid who said, how do you know your version of Hashem is right? You talk about Hashem. That's heavy. That's very, very heavy. That's a heavy, heavy question from a searcher who's searching. The questions are loaded. You can't. That's powerful. How do you know you're right? Please don't take it. I'm not. If the answer is how I know I'm right, then please don't. The answer to that question is a whole. I'm not really answering his question. But I did want to tell you about this yid's question. I want to learn with you something, not as an answer to his question, as learning. I want to learn with you. In our own studies of Hashem, there are two places I think we should look in studying Hashem. I would advise to look in your own life. We all live life. Hashem's dealing with us. Look at your own life. Now, that's a very fascinating thing to say. Do people have challenges and difficulties? Look in your own life. See what you see. That's a very important place to look. And everybody should look in their life. The second place I would very much encourage is to study Hashem's Torah. It's to see Hashem's world and Hashem's Torah. They reflect, they're one and the same. Histaka baraisa bara alma, the world, the Torah was first. You're really getting, the world plays out the Torah. The Torah is first. But if you want to look into this question and studying Hashem, you have to study life, you have to study Torah. So I want to study the place that Klal Yisrael saw Hashem with the most clarity in our history. There was one time in our history where we said, Zekeli. 3 million Yidden pointed to Hashem, Zekeli. We saw Hashem. You were masking in Manhattan? As he went with me to Manhattan, and we learned this together in Manhattan. 3 million people saw Hashem, and we said Zekeli. We pointed to Hashem, Zekeli. Zeh means the thing is right in front of you. It's astounding to ever say Zeh. In the Torah, whenever it says Zeh, you're pointing, the thing is Noichach. The thing is right in front of you. By the months, if you have a kasha, HaChodesh HaZeh, this month, how could you say this month? What are you pointing to? So the Gemara asks your kasha. Hashem says to Moshe, HaChodesh HaZeh, this month should be Rosh Chodashim. Nisan's number one. What Hashem point to? Zeh always means you're pointing. So the Gemara asks your kasha. Zeh always means you're seeing the thing itself. How do you see a month? Says the Gemara, God took out the moon, the Tzuras HaLevana, and said, Kazeh Re'ei V'Kidesh, like this you should see and be Mekadesh the month. So HaChodesh HaZeh, God pointed to the moon. Kazeh Re'ei V'Kidesh. The reason the Gemara says that, it has to be, Kazeh always means you're pointing to the thing itself. So when Klal Yisrael said, Zeh Keli, this is God, it means they saw Hashem. Do I know what they saw? No. Do you know what they saw? I'll ask you later. I don't know what they saw. But they said, Zeh Keli, they saw Hashem. And they pointed and saw with clarity, Zeh Keli, they saw Hashem. So, after they saw Hashem, millions of Yidden saw Hashem with extreme clarity. They saw Hashem, Zeh Keli. They experienced Hashem. What did they respond? What was the response to that one time when millions of Yidden experienced and saw Hashem? What was the response? What happened? At the time in our history, one time, a revelation never seen the likes of before, never seen the likes of afterwards. All of Klal Yisrael said, Zeh Keli, Hashem. They saw. What did they respond? They all, 3 million people, had the same response. They said the word Vanveyu, and I'd like to learn what that response means. The first written pshat we have in that response is Onklus. Anveyu. Onklus says it means Miloshen Nove. A Nove is an abode. Anveyu is Miloshen Nove. And Anveyu means I'm going to build a Beis HaMikdash. So Onklus, the first written response, the Tana Onklus, says that the response to seeing Hashem by all of Klal Yisrael is don't ever leave me. That's the simple, that was the response. Any response they had to seeing Hashem, we have to have like some shaykhs to it. The Torah is taught. Torah means what we can comprehend. So they saw Hashem, and the response is, don't ever leave me. Anveyu, I'm building you an abode. Stay with me. I'm building you a house. Bimit, please don't ever leave. We want this here. Hashras Hashchina. Stay here. Don't ever leave. So that's the first response to experiencing Hashem. If somebody has a different pshat, I don't think it will veer much from what, from, you can word it different ways. Onklus is saying that when we saw Hashem with supreme clarity, our response is, I want this to never leave. Build the Beis HaMikdash. Hashras Hashchina, stay here. I've seen people articulate this in different ways. I think any way you articulate, there could be things I'm unaware of, but the pshat seems to be saying, "Don't ever leave me." So the first response to experiencing Hashem with clarity is, "I want this. I need this." any of us can relate to it, things in our life that we've experienced that we say, this is it. We're all really waiting for Zekei Livan Veyu moments to say, this is it, I want this. We're all looking, guys describing in the journey of what yeshiva I should go, what am I looking for? What do I even want? And we're like trying to think what I tasted that I want. I want some of this. I sat 2.5 hours last night listening to Honesty and I said, I want this. In my own life, I want this. I saw guys speak from the Chassin, Reli, each guy. I saw Aaron, all the guys. And I said, I want this in my life. Zekei Livan Veyu says, we've experienced Hashem, Beis HaMikdash, I want this in my life. Don't ever leave me. That was the Unklus response. Comes the Gemara, and the Gemara has a second response that very much is like interesting. And Veyu says, the Gemara is Ani Vahu. I'm going to be nice the rest of my life. Ani Vahu is I'm going to be like God. Just like he's Rachum, he's merciful, Afani Rachum. Just like he's a Goymel Chesed, Afani Goymel Chesed. I'm going to be nice the rest of my life. Now, I am fully understanding. When they comprehended Hashem, they understood God. They pointed at him. To see him was to understand him. In some way, the philosophers have a line, Ilu Yadate Vayisiv. If you would understand Hashem, you would be God. That's a line of the philosophers. And certainly we don't understand God, we aren't Hashem. But it means they had some understanding of Hashem. In seeing him, they had some understanding, clearly. Because they saw him and they said, I'm going to be like him. How do you know how he was? Clearly they understood Hashem. So they saw him and there was understanding. It's interesting. You could look at it. They saw something. And okay, clearly it wasn't just the sight. Ein adayim shmiel re'iyah means they saw, they understood Hashem. We have like a very childish, like they had a look and they saw something and walked away. That doesn't mean it's not, you're not getting what they saw. They saw Hainu, they comprehended him in some degree, remarkably. They understood Hashem. And to understand Hashem is a commitment. I'm going to be nice the rest of my life. Now, that tells me who Hashem is, by the way. They saw Hashem and they responded, I'm also going to be nice the rest of my life. That's remarkably instructive. The time people had the most comprehension of God, they said, I'm going to also be nice the rest of my life. That's just what happened. That's a fact.
So that's how you know you're right, maybe.
In our journey, this person's saying they're looking in their life, they're studying Psukim, I'm studying one now. It means, when they ask their question, means they went through something and they have a kesha. That's what he's saying. Right. So I just want to study this parasha. That's why I'm saying we're studying parashas. But in studying Zekei Livan Veyu, Klal Yisrael saw Hashem, which clearly, if they just saw it, oh, you could see. I see. It's funny, there are people who read people well and people who don't. I cannot read pictures. Live people, I feel like I get a sense because I see movements. Still pictures, I feel like I see nothing. My kids always argue on me. Can't you see? He's this, she's that. They feel you could read still pictures. I never see. There are clearly people like my kids who could read still pictures. I never could understand the still. I need to see expression and movement. A still picture, I don't know, I don't see anything. My kids say, can't you see the, I don't know, just like if I see from one movement to the next, you notice things, you see things, expression and movement, still pictures, hard for me to see anything. There are people clearly who feel they can read still pictures. A guy like me, we would see Hashem. Klal Yisrael saw Hashem and they said, I'm going to be nice the rest of my life, like him. So that tells me in seeing Hashem, they comprehended. Clearly, they comprehended. There was some comprehension. When I say comprehended, kaviyachol, there was some comprehension of Hashem. And what they drew at the most time of clarity is, I'm also going to be nice. Now, what bothers me a lot, and what I want to discuss, Avi, is why is that a natural reaction to seeing Hashem who's so nice? They saw how nice he was, and that's a cool thing. I'll also be that way. But why is that a natural, why is that the response to seeing a nice person? Hashem is Rachum. He's Goymel Chesed. Why is that? I'm also going to be like that. Why would that, like, don't ever leave me is a nat. I relate to that response. Anything that I find in my life that I want, I say, don't ever leave me. I want this. I want this. I need this. This, stay with me. I relate to that. That's, what is that? He's so nice. I'm also going to be nice. Maybe, I hear. Maybe I'm not so nice. It's funny to say, I'll be like that too. Now, you could say imitation's the highest form of flattery. You see something so good, you want it too. Sometimes I see something so good and I say, I can never be that. Thank you, thanks a million. Sometimes I see something so good, like it's funny to me, the natural flow of I see he's so nice and he's kind and rachum and goymel chesed. So I also want to be that. Maybe. I've read Gedolim books. It's interesting. I've read books of Gedolim where I said I want to be that. And I've read books of Gedolim I said I can never be that. So they all felt they could do that. They saw Hashem and he's remarkably nice. They comprehended. He's a rachum. He's a goymel chesed. Say, I'll also be that way? Maybe. Shouldn't I almost wonder half of Klal Yisrael should read the Gadol book and say, I'll never be that. I get it, like the kind amongst us. Yosef Pragra would see that picture, say, I'll do that too. I hear, a nice guy. What about a guy whose tendency is rough? Like, did he say, wow, he's nice, I'll never be that? Like, did half of Klal Yisrael respond, I'll never? It's interesting, they saw Hashem, he's Rachum and Goymel Chesed, and the response was, so shall we be. The Kasha, does the Chevra mask him to this Kasha? And you could argue on me saying to see something precious is to want it. I don't know if that's the natural thing always, because we've seen precious things and feel not shaykh to it. And here everybody, Anveyu is the response of every Yid. It seems like it should come out of Zekeli. That I'll build a Beis HaMikdash would be something that would naturally flow. Now, Kalish, you could ask, who said it's natural to flow? Then why would all of Klal Yisrael say the same thing? Some people said, well, let's do that. Everybody saw it and said, let's do it. To me, it said the experience of seeing Hashem brought that out and brings that out. In other words, if I would see Hashem and I would feel that good, we all would say, don't ever leave. So Zekei Livan Veyu, I get the pasuk. That's what they all said. What all of us would say if we experienced something that good. This one doesn't, they all saw something, Hashem's so kind, and they all said, let me be kind. Did anybody say, I'll never be that kind? Why does that flow? And maybe it doesn't. It was just like a chiddush. They all like thought of the same chap and the same. It should be. And I want to know my own life. Is there a kindness that you could see that what flows is I'm going to be nice to everybody from now on. What I want to say very, very simply, and if you don't like the kasha, I'm not trying to force something. I'm trying to study Torah. What I wonder to myself is that when a person is validated properly, the instinct is to be kind and nice. That if we all would be butterflies flying into the Beis Medrash, we'd see people, we would see good in people, we would respect and be happy for people. The natural flow is to be impressed with people and to want good for people. What blocks is it our own insecurity. A guy's learning shtark. We should walk in the basement. Be like, wow, you see that guy? A guy speaks, a guy this, a guy that. We should be nishtaimim. What blocks is our own insecurity. Our own insecurity says if he's learning shtark, oh, he's just like an intense guy, one of those. If he's schmoozing and chattering, he should be learning. Instead of like, what a cool guy, a friendship guy. The natural, healthy, real, minus our ego of seeing people would be to be impressed. and it would be to want good for people. What blocks it is our ego. It's a Gemara, Kedush and Kol HaPaisel, Yenak, others, Bimumai Paisel. It's because we have own flaws and own wounds. If I'm right, and locking eyes with Hashem, and this is what I want to suggest, that we locked eyes with Hashem, that we saw Hashem, means we saw Him looking at us. Remember he said, Zeh Keli, it's my God. We didn't say Zeh Lekenu, it's our God. We'll discuss that more soon. So we felt connection, my God. He's looking at me, he has shaychus to me. If it was just I saw and it was disconnected to me, I wouldn't say my God, I would say our God. God, I wouldn't even say mine or ours, God. I saw my God, Zeh Keli. So somehow in our experience, I saw him looking at me and relating to me. That's Pashat Pshat, because I said Zeh Keli, it's my God. So when we saw it, we have to grow up, study the psukim. If we just saw him, we said, God! We didn't say Kenu. We didn't say Elohim. Elohim, Hashem. We said Zeh Keli. That means we saw every letter in the Torah is exact. We didn't see God. We saw my God. 3 million people didn't see God. They saw my God. Revelation, when you were little... And it's worth it to have the whole day now. When you were little, revelation was one time they saw God. No, wrong. They didn't see God. They saw Morty, my God. That's what they saw. Kay Lee, my God. It's like powerful what they saw. If they saw something that was 100%, there was no suffix, God. So God, Hashem, Elohim. They didn't see God. It's a big mistake. They saw my God. That means they experienced that Hashem has personal connection. Cares about me, is into me, is willing to have a connection to me. My God. That's what they saw. Keli. My God. That's what they experienced. Zeh Keli. So part of what they experienced, they didn't see God. They saw my God. 3 million people saw and experienced Hashem, who's into me, who cares about me, who wants a connection to me. They saw my God. They experienced what they're einayim in the most profound sense, einadayim shmilri, in the most profound sense. They saw like we see something, not somebody told us, I heard, I deduced, I figured out, somebody once told me. No. They saw. What did they see? My God. In that experience of my God, they saw Hashem connected to them, was the most profound validation of their life. The sense I'm good, the sense I'm wanted. All of us have a sense, a deep, deep drive for validation. The amount we want our Father's approval boggles my mind. If we're brutally honest, when we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, if we're honest, brutally, we have a natural drive for our Father's approval. Every human being. A deep drive for Dad's approval. And we got the most profound approval of our life. God validated us. The feeling of validation, God validated us. The natural thing that comes from the most powerful validation of our life. If we would feel good, if we would feel good enough, if we would feel beautiful, if we would feel precious, the natural flow of that is I just want to do kindness to other people. Mahu mani mahu afata. Vanveyu, I'm going to be exactly like you. I'm going to be exactly mahu rachum afata rachum. Mahu goy mel chesed afata goy mel chesed. Then all of a sudden it's a natural flow. If what I experience busy is the most profound validation possible, I'm good, I'm acceptable and wanted, the natural flow is to be kind. My kash on myself. I don't want, you're not allowed to say whatever you want in Torah. My cash on my own pshat is, so why does it make it I'm going to be like him? So the response, why is it ani v'hu? I'll be nice. So what, according to what I'm saying, it's not the imitation of him. It's not I saw he was nice, so I'll also be nice. Zekeli, the niceness was expressed towards me. Now I admit, it says mahu rachum afatate rachum, but the rachum is not that was rachmanus, it was to me. He's goyimel chesed to me. Remember Zekeli. I experience the kindness, and that fills me with the love and kindness to give to others. I admit, I'm not trying to force a pshat. I don't know. I'm telling you what happened. I'm learning a pasuk in the Torah. We experienced Hashem. We felt Zekeli, and the response was, I'm also going to be nice. For sure, we saw Hashem's kindness. I don't know why that flows, I'll also be nice and kind. It could be that's the tendency to see something beautiful is to imitate it, if you feel you can. In this experience, Mahu Afata, I am wondering that we felt the kindness to us. So Mahu Rachum, just like he's Rachum to me, so then I become a Rachum. Validated such, I become a Rachum. That's what I'm claiming. I'm not being Mishabed the Pshat to you at all. At all. I have seen this experience. When somebody's validated, they become nice. I've seen it. I've seen a guy come to yeshiva and be a bully, and all of a sudden he's appreciated and validated and he becomes kind. I've seen it. But he's really appreciated and validated and a nice person emerged. I've seen this. This is a truth that I've experienced. Perhaps that was the truth of Zekeli Vanveyu. I admit that I'm learning, just like he, so too I, would mean that he's kind to me. Ilan, is that a weakness of the pshat? Because it doesn't say to me. I don't know. Maybe, and I grant that it could be. But one thing is not open to my pshat is the experience of Hashem was he was kind. It's not open. It said Zekeli, not Zelikenu. Now, could be that's a separate fact I felt to me. Lavdafka the love. To me, I'm wondering that I experienced Hashem's kindness to me, Zekeli. So not just his kindness to me, not just... Is he coming now? Don't do. I can introduce for a minute.
Can you introduce? I came to hear.
I went. When guys' parents come to yeshiva, there's always the struggle to properly express. A guy's making a siyum. I've told you this, and a guy's mother or father comes, so he thanks his parents for coming to the siyum, and my mind goes places. The guy says, "Mom, thanks for coming to the siyum," and my mind goes to places that you're thanking for coming to the siyum. For coming to the siyum, his mom gave birth to him. His mom raised him his mom worries about him the most in the world, cares the most, prays for sure. She's the one who prays the most for him. And he said, "Mom, thanks for coming to the siyum." And my mind at first says, "Are you serious?" But I want to say that the Messiah is right. I'll tell you why the Messiah is right. One day, Be'ezer Hashem, you'll all make a bris. You'll have a beautiful child. And you'll make a sudas bris milah, and you're going to want to thank your spouse. It's very, very difficult. You're in public, but you have to say thank you. You have to say thank you. And you're going to want, it's hard to be real at that moment. Very hard. You're around a lot of people. It's hard to be real in front of people. So you can give, "I want to thank my wife." You could make a joke and fine. The guy wants to be real. Now, certainly, privately, it's easier to be real, but he has that moment. Her parents are there. He has a moment that perhaps even publicly should be real, and he wants to be real. He wants to thank his wife. It's very, very difficult. I'll tell you a trick. You're sitting there at the bris to thank your wife. It's a lot. She puts up with you, all your shenanigans. Not easy. Not easy to thank and to like get put it into words and in front of people, duh. So what we should do is look at the cream cheese and lox on the table. The Bachram taught me this by thanking their moms for coming to the sim. Look at the cream cheese and lox on the table. You feel good that she made a nice bris. She set up, she arranged, she called, she took care of it, let's be honest. So look at the cream cheese, and you feel good. Your friends came, and you threw down quite the party. That's very easy to feel right now. Thank her for the beautiful suda that's put out right here. Now, it sounds funny. That's the thing. From that place, you'll appreciate the other things. It's just easier to emotionally to touch that. It's easier to touch it. The other thing, it's hard. By the way, once you're there and feeling it, you could thank for other things, and you'll probably feel it too. But at the very least, you'll be present in your thank you. It won't be pretend. There are two Rebbeim here who dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of guys have come from this base medrash and gone much further than they got here and developed and learned new and grew to Madregas. And many have come back and helped this yeshiva. We have a Rebbe in the yeshiva who became a Talmud Chacham in Imrei Bina, and many, many dorm counselors who steig, and guys who are there in Kollel Yeshivas. The yeshiva has had a massive, massive reishim. To thank properly in front of everybody, to thank properly, it has to be done, but it's still, it's not such an easy task to mean it, to say it. When I describe what is, how much that yeshiva has impacted us, so I could, if I tell the story more detailed, I can get there. I want to say the first thing that there are a lot of guys signed on for to take test to begin. This is the cream cheese and lox in front of me. There are a lot of people who want to go to Imrei Bina. And the patience and love that every single and honest respect each guy gets coming in is something that I'm nishtayman from. And certainly it's figured out to take as many as possible and to get a guy where he needs to go. And I've watched afterwards. I've spoken to Rev Knopfler, and the care and concern and dignity that's afforded each guy who goes in. Guys walk out feeling good. Guys were nervous. There was tremendous nerves last night. Scary going into a bechina. Guys, I'm tremendously proud. Guys wore white shirts. That's my request, to wear white shirts. The yeshiva has taken a guy who came. There's a bachur in the yeshiva, steiging, who came in tzitzis and shirtless two years ago. I just feel that guys own respect for a big day in your life. You have to take serious. You're considering a yeshiva where you're steiging next year. I want a guy, we're big day Shabbos for that. It's too serious. And there was a seriousness today that was, last night there was tremendous emotion in yeshiva. My son told me, I'm thinking about my life. It caused me last night, it affected him to think about the decisions of his life. It was very powerful. And the seriousness, dressing big day Shabbos, meeting a Rebbe, I might go learn in that yeshiva. There's a kfedus, there's a kavod to that day, to that meeting that exists. So there was a lot of nerves, and guys went in, and each guy walked out with feeling good about it. And I saw that last year and see that this year. Tremendously, tremendously grateful. That's a lot more than cream cheese and lox. But cream cheese and lox is very important when your friends are happy of the suda. This is very important. The 5 minutes that each guy, the 10 minutes, the 15 minutes, all day, it's a marathon. But the kavod and the seriousness, the guys took it serious, and the rebbeim were mechabed in such beautiful ways, tremendously appreciative. Any yeshiva could easily tell us, and they're entitled, this is not a way of getting it next year, that even a yeshiva came here, they could tell us the meetings are in New York. We would go. We want to go to the yeshiva. Two Rebbeim are here. We should travel to them, and maybe we will next year. I'm not trying to lobby. I'm thankful the Rebbeim are here, but there's a kavod to the chevra, to the guys, that's astounding. And I thank Rev Knopfler and Rev Esrig for that kavod that is displayed. Rev Knopfler has been involved in the yeshiva in the last few years and organized and put together. It's a place of tremendous, tremendous steiging, and he's organized and made it such an organized place of shtagging that there's all different shiurim, there's so much available, guys described last year. It needed somebody who cares a lot and who's misadder the whole thing, so many rebbeim, somebody who's misadder all the different aspects, and there are many to the yeshiva. We have tremendous appreciation for Rev Knopfler. I was zeichet to watch Rev Esrig at the chasna of Naftali Fagan. Somebody said last night a quote that we need more Fagan in Yeshiva, like how much we miss. They called it like a name. By me, a Rebbe calls a guy last name would be bad, but that was precious. He called it like Faganhood or something. He had a name for it. He was describing like a void in the yeshiva. Naftali's chasna was to me the lesson of a Rebbe. Guys have told me about Rav Esther calling. Rav Nachum Bruan has described the Rebbe who's calling, who's invested, who's checking up on Talmidim, who's giving his time and his focus. I saw it live. It's different. We're talking about Zekeli, about experiencing Anadoy Meshmeleria, seeing. I saw live, that was a lesson to me, a Rebbe's focus and pride and attentiveness to a Talmud. I saw it live. There was something I saw that moved me a lot, of a Rebbe being present for his Talmud in a beautiful way. It was very, very moving. So I really appreciate there's more to say. It's not my place to speak about Rav Esrig. There's what the guys, I'm just proud of the guys. The guys have good eyesight and see what they should be seeing. And the amount that our chevra have gained from Rebbeim, from the yeshiva, just moves us to thank. It will be our honor to hear Divrei Torah from Rav Knopfler, from Rav Esrig. So without further ado, if Rav Knopfler can share with us.
Shkoyach, shkoyach. It's a tremendous, tremendous honor to, first of all, even be here, and certainly to speak to the chevra. So many of you I met and were looking forward to meet. And Mistama, you're wondering why I'm speaking if Rav Esrig is here. It's the most ridiculous thing. I mean, you've got Rav Kalish here. I come to listen, I come to hear, and I'm speaking. The real reason is, I'm going to get for this later, because the only way that I know Rav Esrig is going to speak is if I say something first, so... That's why I'm doing it. Taking one for the boys. But this is really, it's always the same thing. If a person thinks he's got things figured out, and you try and you make a plan, and we're going to come to Waterbury, and we're going to meet with the boys, and then we're going to go this time, and we're going to be here that time. And really, first of all, nothing works out according to plan, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his own plan. We don't make the plan. And also, we don't really know why we end up where we end up. And sometimes we get to see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to learn. So first of all, I thought I'm coming to here, and I'll, you know, I didn't think I'm going to speak today. But I'm going to share with you a story that I witnessed this week. I was in L.A. on Sunday. And also, I thought I had my cheshbonus why I came there. 5 minutes after I arrived, I knew why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to be there. I was on the shuttle that takes you from the terminal to the car rental. I'm sitting there, and as I get on, I see a nice big from family sitting on the bus. And I didn't pay much attention. You know, you give that from nod. That even though you've no idea who he is and you've never met him before, but it's like, imoy enoichi, you know, we're together elsewhere. And then if he gets off at some terminal, he got off, and everyone on the bus starts talking. Did you see how many kids they have? That was 8 kids. Someone says, no, 7. No, I counted 8 kids. And this is the driver. She's driving the bus, and she just couldn't get over it. She's like, That's a village, he has. And one other person says, that's a lineup for basketball. And they were all going crazy about the number. And this is a whole group, and I'm like, okay, I'm getting ready for this. Here comes the negativity. And all of a sudden, everyone just starts talking. We've got what to learn from them. There is so much to learn. He should give a TED talk. They were all talking, everyone was throwing the comments of how amazing this is. You see a family, look how well behaved they are, look how amazing it is, look how beautiful it is. It's one lady there said, I've seen a couple with one baby, and like, you've got it all, everything's okay. They're with 8 children, everything is just going so smooth. And I saw right away that I wish I knew who this person was, that I can call him and tell him what a tremendous Kiddush Hashem he made, and he's no idea. This family made a tremendous Kiddush Hashem without even knowing that they made a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Just by being a good Yid, it can make such a reishem on people that he's moving on in life, not even knowing. The Rambam says, as far as that our tafkid in this world is to make a Kiddush Hashem, to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim, and he just did that without even knowing himself that he did that. So I knew that I was there to witness this Kiddush Shem Hashem, because I can learn from this that, you know, just from being and doing the right thing, you could be Mekadei Shem Shemayim. Just this idea of just being a simple Yid and doing the right thing can do so much. You see, just last week's parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to... This is, by the way, also a vart that I heard from Rav Ramel Shor. I was just in the airport in Tel Aviv on Matzah Shabbos, and he happened to have told it to me. I guess that's why I needed to be there then too. He says, Matitza Kelai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you shouting? Why are you? What's this tzaka for? Klal Yisrael needs you. Now is not the time to daven. So, Lemaisa, we say every day, Ve'ezakosam Shamat al Yamsuf, right? So obviously that Zaka did something. That tefillah did do something. And it saved Klal Yisrael. So why do we say the Matitza Kelai? So he told me that Rav Tzadik HaKoyen says that there's two types of tefillah. There's a tefillas Moshe, a tefillah the Moshe, which is a tzaddik, a tefillah of a tzaddik. He knows which buttons to push. He knows the tricks. He knows when to daven. He knows what to be mechavein. He knows how to daven. That's a certain type of tefillah. And then Rav Tzadik says there's another type of tefillah, which is a tefillah la'oni, which is, I don't know. It's an oni comes. He says, I have nothing. I have nothing to give you, but I need you. I don't have life figured out. I don't have everything figured out. I don't know how to do everything. But I know I'm in an Eis Tzara, and I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he davens. Rav Tzadik says that sometimes a tefillah of an Ani is so much greater than a tefillah of a Tzadik, because it comes from such a pure place. It comes from a place where I just need your help. That's why we say that as Za'akosam Shamat Al Yamsuf. It's the Zak of Klal Yisrael. Wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. It was everyone's tefillah, because that's the tefillah la'ani. I have to say that being here, you think that, you know, you come, I'm going to hear from Bachrim, we're going to hear where they're holding, we're going to hear who's, you know, who's Shaykh to Imre Bina, who, in the end, it's the other way around. I come here and I learn so much. It's so inspiring to see Bachrim saying, I don't have everything figured out. I don't know, but I want. I want to grow. I have my Rebbeim. I want them to guide me. I want to come to Eretz Yisrael, to Shteig. I don't know exactly which yeshiva I should be in. I don't know what the right place is for me, but I look to my Rebbeim to help me out. It's the most inspiring thing to see how people are saying, I don't have everything figured out in life yet, but I know that I want to get there. I know that I want the right thing, and I'm here to grow and to keep Shteiging. So, Rabbi Issa, I just have to say, Yasher Koyach to all of you, and to the Rebbeim. It's always such an inspiring thing to come. Rav says we could be anywhere else. We wouldn't think of being anywhere else. And getting the boys to come to miss out on this experience of being here. It's very hard to come here. It's not hard to come here because it's a long drive out. It's hard to come here because you have to leave. There's always a time that you have to leave. And it's so difficult because I'm talking for myself, we want to spend a couple of days here. We want to come and learn here. We want to come and listen and hear and witness what goes on. Instead, it's always so tight in time because Baruch Hashem, there's lots of other things to do and we have responsibilities back home. But it's the hardship of coming here is leaving. Yasher Koyach.
Song to
give I'm not a Balman.
Oh, we'll sing. Let's. Rabbi said, "Let's be misbalim." The always srachim. Let's be mis Hashem mali rachim. I always loved this song. You probably might guess that. The last time we sang it, I have to say, the last time we sang it. If you think we're singing, so you get tired. We're praying. We're not tired of praying. We have Merubin Sarchi Amcha, the last time we prayed together, 25 Satmach Sidim were here on Thursday night, and we're together with the Chevra, and we sang it. And I told the guy, why is nobody singing? My ears, I had an issue with my ears, and I wasn't hearing Pashat. And I Pashat couldn't hear the Chevra singing. I thought it didn't sound the same. Guys told me it was as good as ever, but I didn't hear it. So I Pashat missed the last prayer, the last time we sang. Aryeh, let's be mispallel together. Hashem Ali Rachman, take it away, Aryeh.
V'kabel tachanu no Hashem ole rachamim rachim olayayay V'kabel tachanu no inochamo Hashem ole Hashem ole rachamim rachim olayayay v'kabel tachanu nay Hashem ole rachamim rachim olayayay rachim olayayay Hashem ole rachamim rachim olayayay v'kabel tachanu nay Hashem ole rachamim rachim olayayay v'kabel Rachim olay, rachim olay. Hashem oy mali rachamim, rachim olay, rachim olay. Hey, my.
Rishus Rav Rabbanim Achashuvim. I really wasn't planning on speaking, and I thought I really wasn't going to speak, but there's a lot of different thoughts going on, a lot of different areas. The singing now, what Rav Knopfler spoke about before. But I'll just, something short. It's always, like Rav Knopfler said, it's really inspiring, especially coming here, meeting Bachrim, what they're going through, what they where they are, what they went through. Something we all struggle with. I struggle with it till the day. I really would love to be different places. Where, you know, I have chaver, mamish, real chashuva people. That I get Talisha Sadas, even just meeting them or thinking, no, but each person has his Avaida. It's hard, but each person has his Avaida. I thought about once, there's a Beis Halevi in Parashas Mikha, it's a famous Beis Halevi that he talks about. You know, superficially, you think that Pari had a dream, and that was the catalyst. That's how Yosef HaTzadik went out. Oh, Pari had the dream, so now Yosef HaTzadik went out. And really, it's the opposite. Yosef HaTzadik had to go out. How is Yosef HaTzadik going to go out? So now Hashem orchestrated that Pari should have a dream, and that's the way he's going to go out. And he says, there's loads of things in the world, Sibo, Mesoiviv, we think that because of this, this is what happened, but really, it's the opposite way around. It's because something has to happen, that's why Hashem makes like that. I always think, you know, okay, I was like this, and I ended up here, and because of that, okay, so now I have to do this. No, Hashem wanted me to do that. How is he going to make me do that? I had this, and I had that, and Mela, he pushed me, I ended up because of my background, or whatever it is, here, because that's really what you should be doing. This is what you should be doing, not because I had all these other circumstances, so it ended up that this is what you should be doing. This is how we got you. The same thing, like everything else in the world. This is where you should be. So how is he going to get you? How is he going to, you know, how am I going to get you over there? So this is what happens. So he got you over there. And it's, we all struggle with all our different things. The Sfasemis brings from the Chedush Yerim, Im tokam alai moch, Davar HaMelech says, Im tokam alai mochama, bezois ani boteach. If I'm going to have a war, bezois ani boteach, with what? What am I going to be boteach in? So everyone says something else. He brings, and the fact that the Muhammad is coming, so I'm Baiteach. Because Hashem sent me a Muhammad, so I know that this is the right thing for me. This is what I need right now. I need this Muhammad. I'm for sure that this Muhammad is exactly what I need now. No, this is what I need. Yeah. I'm just ending off. We said 5 minutes, but everyone together, so I think it's already. Right, the Sifri says, Parshas Hazinu, Kel Amuna Ve'ein Avel. What does it mean, Kel Amuna? That Rabbi Hashem has Amuna in us, right? That he has his Amun Ba'olam that he created. That's the Sifri. That Rabbi Hashem believes in us. That's what everybody says. Toiv Lahoidos Lashem. Toiv Lahoidos Lashem. Right, Baboiker Chazdecha, Vemunascha Baleilos. The Baboiker is the day, things are bright, things are sunny, that's Chazdecha. And Baleilos, when it's dark, when Golos, when we're going through our struggles, that's Leilos. And we believe that it's good for us, right? Or Emunascha, that your Emuna in us, right? Your emuna in us, emunas chavaleis, that I know that you trust me. So I said over in the beginning of the year, we have a get together to share, and Yosef Chazan asked me, so why is it toiv lahoidais? What's the what am I thanking? What am I thanking? Emunas chavaleis. So I know what am I thanking? It's my son. I have a son in Bnei Brak, very chashuv, and he always comes. He tells me things to retire. I'm scared to talk to him. You know, know so much. See, Tomi Avar from Akedah Yitzchak was a rebbe. I don't know which rebbe it was. He was, I think, in the Holocaust. I don't think he made it. I think. And he said, oh, he told me that he said, Emunas Chabalelois, he said in Yiddish, I thank Hashem that he has the trust in me, that he's putting me through such an assignment. That's what he's thanking. That means a person realizes it's hard, things are hard, but obviously, if Hashem put me here, and this is where he wants to get me to, so this is the moment, and I'm thanking Hashem for that he realized that it's a high level, but he realized that this is for him, and how Hashem gave him this opportunity, and he used it. Hashem didn't come down, but he used it to the utmost. So we all have our things. It's not like it happens, so this is what I got to deal with. It's pushing us to come to what we really need to deal with. I wanted to be in Etzol to hear the Rav. It's always beautiful for me. And whenever someone puts on, when I get rides to Yeshiva, they put on the Rav's thing. It's unbelievable. I had a chasna in America. I didn't make it. I thought I'm going to walk for Shabbos to Shabbos. I got bronchitis. I couldn't make it. I thought I'm going to listen here. We have a whole list of people. And then after that, I have to come and speak in front of here. Like, right? Mr. Banisham put me, what should I do? I have to do this. But it's an amazing experience. Everyone should grow. We should all grow together from all our Abayim, from wherever we are. And it should be Toy V'Hoydai Slashem. Lahagid Baboyka Chazdecha and Emunas Chabalelois Yashakayach, everybody.
Ravezi told us a story that I want to close with. Ravezi told us a story that me and Ravezi heard together. Reb Shmuel Birnbaum, we heard this together, yeah. Reb Shmuel Birnbaum was a masmid nifla, and he was asked to speak at a gathering for a tzedakah. And the guy introducing him goes on and on, introducing Reb Shmuel, and he's giving like a flowery introduction, and as he should be, Mechabed Reb Shmuel, and he said, Reb Shmuel's not mevatel for anything. So just leaving Seder to come here and speak says everything about the Tzedakah organization. You hear a tumult then, Reb Shmuel says, so I shouldn't, he's right, and he doesn't speak. There's like a tumult, and then the guy's asked to call the next one up. Reb Shmuel didn't get up and speak. He was right. I don't want to say afterwards, like, I shouldn't add to Reb Esther Gitzad that comes, and, okay, I shouldn't add. Now let's add. Mincha's next door, and second Seder right here.